Thursday morning, September 29th, open mac with head coach Jeff McInerney, and we start doing something we haven't done in about 4 years. We're going to sit down for an open mac after a home loss, and you said it just before we started talking that it's no fun to lose. It's especially no fun to lose at home. What I noticed after the game was how your team reacted, and Brittany from the recorder actually wrote an article in it this week about the sportsmanship after the game, because, you know, these kids have never lost at home, this group of guys on the field that have been on the field and lost at home, and thought the way they carried themselves after the game, and you know, Gene Johnson and Gunnar especially, because they came up to talk to the media, was phenomenal. And outside of football and outside of the loss, you know, you're helping to raise young men, and the way they reacted from that loss, I was proud to see it as a member of the staff here, and I'm sure you were too. So, you know, obviously not happy with the loss, happy with the way they handled themselves after the game. Talk a little bit about Saturday and your kind of an emotional roller coaster, I would think.
Well, you bring up a great point. What we always teach these things, and I think I said this in the opening press conference for the NEC, what I love about these kids, win, lose, or draw, we're going to put it up right. We're going to do it right. You can't always be happy when you win and then act bad when you lose. You got to be professional. You got to be a grown-up, and that's what I am proud about them. As far as the game goes, I call it the house of pain when you lose. You go visit it for a couple of days, and it's no fun. It takes a little time to get out of your system, but you got to get it out, and you got to move on. And it took me until about Monday morning at about 10 o'clock to get it out and then move on to Sacred Heart, because that game is gone, and we got to take them one at a time. We still can win the NEC championship, but what we got to do more importantly is get better. And we got 7 games left to get better, and if we take care of the little things, the big things will take care of themselves. So as far as emotional roller coaster, after we evaluated the game, looked at how this thing could have turned on a dime either way, and looked at how we can correct it, it got better. And that's life, Tom. You know that. You played the game. You got to look at it that way, and we got to move forward.
What did you see on Saturday that needs to be corrected before you play in just about 48 hours now?
We got to move. We got to get some offensive production. By no means did our defense play perfect, but I thought they played extremely hard after the first drive of the game. They competed extremely hard. That is a very, very good offensive football team. Matched up with the receivers. They got a 3-year starter at quarterback, a big offensive line, weapons all over the place. I thought we competed. And I thought in the second half, when it was 17-10, we had our run fits. Our stopping the run was better. So I was pleased with that. I thought our coverage and the kicking has been awesome. Our punt coverage and kickoff coverage has definitely improved. Where we got to improve is on the offensive side of the ball. We got to be able to run the football. And we worked heavily on that this week, a heavy emphasis. Sometimes I call it fancy-dancy. We get in there and we want to be balanced and we want to throw the football, and we forget one thing. You got to beat the guy across from you. How you do that and you knock the will out of that person is run the football. And that's what we got to do.
You mentioned on Monday morning you turned the page and looked forward to Sacred Heart, a team that you've had nothing but success against since you've been here. They're going to come in for homecoming this Saturday. You know, every day we go out, there's more and more of a stadium feel out there with the other bleachers. I was watching the stream from Saturday and checking out how it looked and how it went. And it looks like no one's at the game because the bleachers are completely empty in the film, and you probably saw it on your film too. But Sacred Heart coming in here, again, you know, now you've won 15 out of 16, and you know it doesn't stop how successful you've been at home in the last 4 years. This is a Sacred Heart team that beat Dartmouth, and Dartmouth had a decent victory earlier in the season. First time Sacred Heart goes on the road this season, what do you need to do to get back to winning at home?
Just what I said. We got to stop the run on defense, and we got to be able to run the football on offense. If we do that, everything else will take care of itself. It's really, really that simple. And if we can do that, and we got to take them one at a time. I know media, fans speak. This isn't coach talk. It's the truth of life when it comes to a football coach. You turn the page, and you just got to look what's right there in front of your face, that focus. Right there in front of your face. And that's what we got to do. Our next job is to go out and play well and beat Sacred Heart. That is our next job at hand in front of a homecoming crowd, and that's exactly what we want to do. You are so right, Tom. They had a great win, and I have to compliment, what a great win for our league, Sacred Heart beating Dartmouth. I thought Albany beating Columbia. Those were huge wins for our league, and I'm proud of this league. Sacred Heart will come in here. They got a great coach in Paul Gorms and a team that's going to come in here fired up, ready to come after us, and guess what? We got to stand tall and get that taste out of our mouth. I can't wait because 48 hours, I got a chance to get this bad taste out of my mouth. It's not a good tasting taste, and we're excited about it.
You mentioned Gene Johnson and Gunner in the post-game press conference on Saturday. They talked about how, as leaders, they need to take control of this team and let them know that winning just doesn't happen. That, you know, they need to continue to work hard, continue to get better. What does it mean to you to have a couple of captains? And I'm sure the other captains are the same way. We just didn't bring them up to the post game. How important is it to have leaders like that?
It's very important, Tom. It's the only way we have a chance to win, and they are so right. That's the message from the top. And we have to be leaders because we're going to be in games where we're going to have to make the play. On Saturday, there was a point there where the score was 24-12. And we have a running back break in the open. And he gets injured, which I can make an argument we were going to score to make it 24-19. We go down, kick off. I got all three timeouts. We hold them. Just like 2009, they pump back to us and we go down to score. It was right there in front of us for the taking. We didn't make the play. Somehow, some way, we didn't make the play. And we had a couple turnovers there at the end, which is not good. That's another thing we got to get rid of. But and stop is the fact that we got to take it right there, right in front of our face, and take it one play at a time and go out and do something positive. And then nothing good, everything good will start to happen again.
Gunner took some shots on Saturday, and we know he's playing a little bit banged up anyway. Without specifics, because we don't talk specifics on guys health-wise, we're doing okay from last Saturday.
We're beat up, and we don't want to talk. It's been a
so we're not doing okay.
Well, we're doing okay, but here's the difference between this team, and it's not an excuse. It's the truth. You know me. I give you a straight-up coach talk. You ask me how we're doing. We're competing, but we got to get other guys to step up when you're banged up. That's football. That's life. No one cares. And you can't use an excuse, and we got to get other guys better. That's called coaching. That's on me. That's my job. You know, the player's got a job to do. I got to develop talent and skill. That's recruiting and get guys in the right position. So that's what I got to do to help these guys win, and that's what I plan on doing.
You have a lot of young guys who are playing, who are seeing a lot of playing time, from Tyrell Holmes to Blaze Rosati at center. I'm not saying they're inexperienced, because they're every one of them is making an impact positively at this point. And that only speaks well for your team as you go along. You don't like to throw the guy in there, but next year he's a sophomore who's got 11 games of experience, and 3 years ahead of him. And it's what makes a transfer like Gunner tough, because he comes in, he has a really good year, and then he gets to his senior year, and you're already thinking, oh no, when he's gone, what do we do then? But when it's the young guys who can develop. And a guy like, Chris Linares feels like he's been here for 6 years, and he's a sophomore. He's played, 15 games here. How good is it for you to have young guys contribute, and contribute in a positive way? Because, like I said, Terrell Holmes recovered a fumble. London Lomax is the one who forced it, but Holmes jumped on it. But freshmen making an impact on both sides of the ball.
Well, it's huge. I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, that's what we got to keep going. But we just got to get the cohesiveness back in what we do well here, and what has been our staple, and we're good enough to do it. Sometimes in life, you can lose your way because you think, well, this has been good, and we got to look at this, and we do that. We got to find a way, but it's so important with the young guys playing, Tom. Blaze Rosati's done a good job. He's not been the reason we're struggling. Neither has Terrell Holmes been the reason we've been struggling. And it's positive to see those guys play. I'm proud of what Denzel Jones, he's made two big catches. Getting him more active, getting him the ball a little bit more. Again, not going throw happy all over the place, but he obviously can be a force. But we got to get our running game. That's the message, the moral of the story. And if we don't do that, nothing good's going to happen.
Saturday at 12 o'clock, Sacred Heart will come into a Root Field, and we're going to have to start talking about maybe changing the name to a Root Stadium when the bleachers open up on the other side. Those bleachers, by the way, will be ready for 2012. The possibility that they would be ready for this season to sit in would be there, but we're not going to be able to allow people over there because it's still a quote-unquote construction area, and they still have work to do on the track and the soccer bleachers on that side. So while they look ready to go, probably not until the 2012 season. But 12 o'clock on Saturday, it's homecoming, and always a great crowd on homecoming. If you could say one thing to the crowd coming on Saturday, it would be...
Fire up and enjoy coming back to 1615 Stanley Street, Central Connecticut State University. What a great place. We got great alumni, great faculty, great administrators, great SIDs, and a great student body. Come back and enjoy the moment. And do fellowship. And respect what Central stands for the people that have come before us. And there's been a lot of them. Not just on the football side, in all athletics, all our sports, all our academics. Come back and have fun. It's a special place.
Right, the gates will open at 10:30. If you can't make it, you can watch and listen on ccsubluedevils.com. If you're in the Hartford area, you can listen on ESPN Radio 1410 with Mark Robbins and Bruce Beal. They'll have all the action online and on 1410. Coach, we wish you good luck, and we thank you for your time.
Fire up, baby.